I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. We actually had a couple of entertaining football games involving the Jets and Giants yesterday. And two of them were almost the two worst losses we have seen from these teams this year. But the Giants found a way to hold on. They were resilient. They were tough. They were strong. There were all these things that Pat Shurmur wanted to see from these guys during this horrible season. And then you had the Jets, who are just meandering through this lost year without their young, exciting starting quarterback, with a coach who's just watching his job every single day become more and more evident that he's not going to have it. So much happening yesterday and this weekend in sports. Boomer, good morning. How are you?
All right, I'm doing okay, Gio. And yeah, if the Giants would have lost yesterday, given the way that they had played, and especially, you know, their defense, way they were playing, Saquon Barkley the way he was playing, their special teams. I mean, they had everything going there for them. And then, of course, that onside kick, man, what a disaster. And I think Odell Beckham Jr., I know there's been a lot written about it and whether or not he has the heart. Thanks, Al. Whether he has the heart or the desire to go make a play like that. Number one, it's not an easy thing. And number two, it looked like to me he was going in to try to swipe the ball out of bounds. That's what it looked like to me. And he didn't go full speed. There's no question about it. But to lose one of only four successful onside kicks this season because of the way the new kicking rules are, enforced, it makes it very difficult to get one of those. So if they would have lost that game, man, I can't even imagine the amount of vitriol and criticism that would have come his way when he really didn't deserve it. I mean, at the end of the day, that guy is trying everything he can to help the team win. I know that. And I know he could be a mercurial, weird personality and all that other stuff. But when you put him on the field, he competes. I don't care what anybody says.
That was a bad look, but I'm with you. I was defending him to Giants fans yesterday that were texting me going nuts over this, that they can't stand him. So they're looking for any reason, right? So he catches the touchdown pass. Of course, I don't hear from anybody. He throws the touchdown pass. I don't hear from any of these people. But then the second that happens on the onside kick, this guy's lazy. He doesn't care. I can't believe he's out there. If he's going to be on the hands team and not give an effort, I'm like, will you relax?
Everybody's got to come down. Plus, he gave the halftime speech, it sounds like.
Apparently, yes.
Right, so I don't know what to tell you. They won the game, and the players and the coaches want to win. They want to win. They don't care about draft choices next year. They don't care where they are in the draft and all that. They just want to go out and win a football game.
Especially a game like that, too, against a very good team.
Right, and the same thing can be said also for the Jets. Now, and I know people yesterday, because obviously at CBS we have a lot of Jet fans over there, and they're watching the game, and they're all frustrated because, you know, they can't get into the end zone. They got to settle for field goals, and ultimately that's going to come back to haunt you, and it does haunt the Jets. And then everybody's like, you know, why are we so blah on offense? Why are we so plain? Why are we throwing a lot of short passes? Why didn't Sam Darnold play? I think I have the answers to that. Now, whether or not you agree with the answers, that's one thing. I'm just telling you why they did what they did and why I think they did what they did on offense yesterday and why they only threw for about 138 yards or whatever it was and why Sam Darnold didn't play. I don't think that they wanted to play Sam Darnold because of the front seven of the Tennessee Titans and that they knew that it was going to be an extremely difficult game. Now, you would argue with me saying, well, he's got to learn this. And I agree with you. I understand that. The coaches internally there, they want to win too, because if there was any sliver of hope to try to save their job, you want to do that by beating better teams on the road in their buildings and showing effort, and which the Jets did show yesterday. So if I'm Jeremy Bates and I'm the offensive coordinator and I have a 39-year-old quarterback who could, you know, is not going to move very well, and I'm playing against a very good defensive front seven that's going to get after that quarterback, I have to basically manufacture a game plan that's going to give what we believe our best chance to win. And they thought in their minds, quick passes, short passes, let's get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Let's try to run it where we can. We're missing Spencer Long. He was ill. Even though he was dressed, he wasn't playing. And so there's a lot of things that go into these games. Nonetheless, they lost, and that's all that matters. And the way that they lost, by having to settle for field goals, and on top of all of that, the penalties, and then the quotes by the coach after the game,
right,
tell you know that he's done, they're done, mm-hmm. and it's over with. And it's just a matter of time now.
He has never solved that. In all the years he's been the Jets head coach, he has never solved that discipline problem. Even with the roster turnover, it's just the same stuff with that team when it comes to penalties. Now, I guess the question I would have with the Sam Darnold thing is, you do believe that he had an injury and does have an injury, but you also think that he was probably healthy enough to play, but
yes.
They said there's really no reason to thrust him back in here.
Right.
Maybe he's 90%, maybe he's 95%, but there's no reason to do that.
Especially when I hear, Todd Bowles saying he needs more reps in practice. So that means that he didn't practice well last week. They see that on an everyday basis. I personally want to see the guy in the field now. I think the break is going to help him, much like it's helped Josh Allen, even though Josh Allen's running around with his head cut off all over the place. Kind of like Lamar Jackson, they're actually calling runs for him, knowing that he's limited in trying to read and process defensive coverages and things of that nature. But Sam's got to get under center. He's got to finish this year. He's got to be out there. He's got to feel it, and he's got to take it into next year. He does. He's got to get back on the field. I don't want to see him with an earpiece on and a smile on and not wearing his uniform. I want to see him out on the field. I want to see him start growing up, and I want to see him start accepting the responsibility that is to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, which is not easy. So I could only sit here and tell you that being in a situation like they were in yesterday, and even the Giants for that matter, the coaching staffs want to win, and they want to try to come up with the best way for them to win. And, much like the Giants the week before in Philadelphia, in the second half, they only gave, Saquon Barkley the ball, four times. Well, they weren't getting first downs, so they couldn't give him the ball more because they didn't have enough plays. Yesterday, there were more opportunities. They were making first downs, and Saquon Barkley had a whale of a football game. He was awesome. He's exciting. He's worth every penny you pay for your ticket to go and watch because he's one of the really, truly emerging superstars in this league. I can't sit here and say that I know that about the Jets. I'm not sure who their superstars are.
Right, and there's a lot of holes to fill in this offseason, and we'll see how much the draft and free agency, what Mike Maccagnan does, if he's still the general manager. We believe that he was, but he will be, rather. But I do think that once Sam Darnold starts again, and it looks like he's going to against the Bills, and all of a sudden there's some meaning back in this Jets season. Because even watching yesterday, it's like, all right, they win the game or they lose the game. What does it really mean in this Jets rebuild outside of draft position? Doesn't mean anything because we know that the coach is going to be gone at the end of the year, so it's not like that's up in the air any longer. If you win the game, what does it do for you? It's not like Sam Darnold went out there and won the game on the road against a good defense where you could say, I'm going to put that in my back pocket for next year. I mean, it's nothing. It means nothing.
It just doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
This is all the Jet fans yesterday, all right, getting together collectively on Twitter. So, I mean, I guess that losing the game does you a service when it comes to the draft next year. And that's really what it came down to. Now, when Sam Darnold's back, I got a different take on things. We need to see him play well for every single snap that he has the rest of the year to get that excitement back. Because if he comes back and looks like a guy who has gotten worse throughout the season, then that's not going to be a lot of fun heading into the offseason thinking about that when you're seeing all these other quarterbacks. Hey, Josh Rosen went into Lambeau and won a game yesterday. Josh Allen looks like a real quarterback. I mean, you think about some of the stuff that's going on. Baker Mayfield had a rough game yesterday on the road in Tennessee, but still.
It's going to be a rookie on the road in Houston.
I mean, at Houston, yeah. Obviously, yes, Houston. Yeah. He had a rough game there against that defense, but, I mean, just think about all these other guys getting these opportunities. I mean, you've told me a million times how invaluable
it is.
This experience is for these guys. And there's one of them, Lamar Jackson won three. Everybody is out there doing things in the first round that are quarterbacks except Sam Darnold. And it's infuriating.
32 organizations, 32 different sets of circumstances, and everybody has to handle things a little bit differently. And they all fall back on things that, that they've seen in their past. I'm sure that Todd Bowles is talking to coaches that are not on his staff that, he considers a mentor, whether it be Bill Parcells or anybody else, about how to handle what's going on right now. I would believe that Sam Darnold will fill out or finish out the rest of the year, and that will be something to look forward to. And then really, in all honesty, the next important aspect for the Jets is, you know, who's the coach? Where are they going after this? And is McCagnan staying here and all those things? So those things are all important. Those questions will be answered sooner or later. The question is, you know, do they want to put Todd through a final month of this? You know, the Green Bay Packers fired Mike McCarthy right after the game yesterday. They lost to the worst team in football, obviously, the Cardinals, at home in Lambeau. Unacceptable. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mike McCarthy went in there to Mark Murphy, who is the actual president of the team, because they don't have an owner. It's a, you know, it's a community-based team. They, you know, so, but Mike Mark Murphy is running the team. I wouldn't be surprised if Mike McCarthy walked in there and said, I can't control the quarterback anymore. He's just not listening to me. You know, and if that were the case and the way that his press conference unfolded yesterday, maybe Mark Murphy wanted to do this guy a solid and say, look, you know what? You might as well just get out of here, out of the building now. And let's not prolong this thing for a month. Let's us get our ducks in order so we can find the coach that we need to get the most out of our quarterback and move forward. Because they're not going to change their general manager, I doubt it. I think they're going to keep their general manager. He's a young guy. And they're just going to just flush the whole thing. And they're going to try to clean it up and try to get somebody in there that actually can penetrate Aaron Rodgers' brain and make him start playing the way that Aaron Rodgers should be playing.
Yeah, I think the reporting yesterday was that he was not expecting this at all when it happened, Mike McCarthy. So I don't know if he went in there.
You never know.
But I just – the thing locally with this that needs to be addressed right away, because, of course, what happens now when a guy like Mike McCarthy, who is an offensive guy, has won a Super Bowl, is now available, and you're thinking about the offseason and what the Jets are going to do with their head coach, everybody is now attaching that guy to the open jobs. And I think that the Jets job and Mike McCarthy is a fit that I don't think exists. I do not like it at all.
I could sit here and make a case for him, and I could sit here and make a case against him. And the case that I would say against him is that, look, you had the best quarterback in football for the last 5 years. Where are the Super Bowl rings to show for that? And why did Aaron Rodgers and you go this way, you know, opposite directions? So, I mean, there's that argument against, and then there's the argument for that he did win a Super Bowl, that he is a commanding presence on the sideline, that he had a lot of success because he did go to 9 playoff runs. And is he? My question would be, is the Western Pennsylvania personality the right personality to lead the Jets, if in fact that's where the Jets want to go? So,
I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, that's, you know, having lived out there, it's there. There's a lot of toughness that exists.
I know, but I'm also
in those people. So, I mean, I think that it would work. I mean, I'm
also saying, though, that if there was a criticism about him and his offense, would be the lack of imagination.
Well, yeah, that's the thing
that
I have a problem
with. Aaron Rodgers created the imagination on his own by playing sandlot ball.
Yeah.
You know, at least the last couple of years. You know,
right.
So that's a weird job too, by the way. Green Bay is a weird job because you have a quarterback who seems to be controlling everything out there, and that may not be the greatest place for a guy who does not have the backbone or security or at least the presence to handle that QB.
Well, those
stories are going to start coming to the forefront about how difficult it is to coach Aaron Rodgers.
I'll tell you, I've said it now for a couple of weeks, even before McCarthy got fired. I mean, there's one guy who makes total sense for that job. It's Bruce Arians. He works with guys like Aaron Rodgers, has worked with guys like him over and over again. And it ends up like, okay, so you think Andrew Luck's a guy that's very amenable to coaching. We know that. That's not an Aaron Rodgers type guy. But Ben Roethlisberger is. And Ben Roethlisberger's still one of his best friends is Bruce Arians. And Carson Palmer was a guy who forced his way out of a particular team in Cincinnati and then had some issues in Oakland. And he goes and in the late stages of his career thrives under Bruce Arians before he didn't have it anymore. He's just, I don't know. That if I'm the Green Bay Packers, you don't start with convincing Bruce Arians to come out of retirement and work with Aaron Rodgers and say this opportunity right here for both of you guys is too big to pass up, then you're doing it the wrong way.
And also remember, Bruce Arians is 66 years old. I believe 66.
Right.
I believe.
Right.
And it's not the way that the league seems to be trending. The league seems to be trending.
It's a unique place.
I know. But the league seems to be trending to look for that young offensive coordinator that can go in there and, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers, if they allow him some say in all of this, they're doing themselves a disservice. But then again, he is the quarterback, he's the face of the franchise, and he's the guy that basically is left behind. So I would imagine that they will ask him some input. I don't know how much of an input, but you got to be careful when you start going down that road with players. I still believe that there has to be a delineation between the coach and the player, and there really has to be a delineation between the GM and the agents of the players and the players themselves. He's got to make, or whoever's making the decision there, it's got to be strong, it's got to be decisive, and it's got to be the right personality to handle who I would say is really a mercurial personality. You know, he's like a tough personality. Like the last three or four games, I've seen guys that have been wide open that he has thrown the ball at their feet.
He's had a bad year. There's no doubt about it. So this is not all on McCarthy. I mean, right. for Aaron Rodgers' standards, this has been a bad year for sure.
But you know what also happens in the NFL? Sometimes guys who have been around as long as McCarthy has been around, that message starts to fall on deaf ears, not only on the players, but also everybody within the organization. You know, they just get tired of it. They just get tired and tired and tired of it. That's why I think, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals job is probably going to be open. The Green Bay Packer job is going to be open. I don't know what they're going to do in Tampa now because they're starting to have a little success with Jameis and their offense. You can say whatever you want about, you know, the turnovers and all that other stuff. I don't know if they fired Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter's got a hell of an offense going on down there. And the reason he got that job was because the offense he ran in Atlanta prior to this job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's finally got his quarterback to stop turning the football over. So I don't know if that job will be open or not, but I'm sure there'll be two or three others that will be surprised at the end of the year that will be open. So I would suggest that if it were the Jets, get your ducks in order, start making some decisions, and make sure everybody out there knows what you're looking for, because you don't want to be left at the altar if there's somebody out there that you really desire.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.